password.
You can use mine to get on the internet.
I did this.
This is wrong.
If we're all for one try, there's a Digimon adventure for us all. If we're all for one try, there's a loss for chapter 4. Homeostasis. See, I made it. It made it a variant for Digimon adventure. Try.
Yeah.
Yeah. I realized when we started this live episode that I don't have in the soundboard the proper intro and transition music for our try episode. So it's a hybrid. It's a fusion episode of a try and a frontier episode. Let's go with that. So, yeah, Ashley and I are here. This isn't how we have an intro. Welcome to Podigist, episode T4.1. Sorry for your feedback.
Tokyo trip and try chapter 4 feedback.
Let's see, Ashley, I edited this. It's just we're just going to do it for the first word, and then you say it after, okay?
Why?
Because it's annoying for the whole line.
Well, okay. Why can't I just say recorded March 7th, 2017?
Well, sure. But then it loses the... We should, in the future, let's just do the recorded part. Re...
Recorded.
No,
you messed it up already.
I messed it up. Podigist is your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and today it's just me and fellow homeostasis agent, Ashley McDonald.
I am not a homeostasis agent. I resent that.
what are you if you're not a homeostasis agent?
I'm actually Jedi. I'm Jedi. Oh, you never saw that coming, did you?
Plot twist.
I'm actually one of the many Xehanorts in the world.
The 13th Xehanort. Speaking of random things, I was listening back to our Try Chapter 1 episode earlier today, and I posted about this on Twitter, I think. But I made a comment about Genai's mention in the first movie. And how it seems suspicious that he is mentioned as, like, a reason for the kids to trust Maki and Daigo. And because of that, I was like, I don't know. It could just be, like, a name drop that, like, is used just to make the kids trust them. And it might not actually be Genai. And that kind of turned out to be true. I mean, as far as we know, it's still Genai. It's just Genai is different than what we expected.
It's Paimon, who's actually Myotismon, who's actually... It's actually Ken all along!
Oh, yeah. It's actually all the Zero Two kids have fused into one, and they
yeah.
are...
They Jogrist all into...
On that note... Pretend that's Braveheart. Let's just pretend that's Braveheart, change this music. So this, for this feedback episode, the first segment, we're going to... I want to talk about my...
We're going to talk about your trip.
I'm
going to talk about it.
Well, okay. I went to Japan recently, to Tokyo for 5 days. I came back 2 days ago. It was basically last week. It was primarily for a developer conference, so I really didn't have tons of free time to do stuff, but I still went around and did a couple Digimon things in Tokyo. And so I want to talk about that stuff. And Ashley... And I have been to Japan and to Tokyo twice before, so she, you know, will recognize some things I'm talking about and will have points of comparison.
For chapter 1.
Yeah. So, yeah, to give some context, we went to Tokyo for, not wasn't for chapter 1, but we booked tickets for a 1 week trip to Japan, to Tokyo specifically, for a week in 2015, and then found out that chapter 1 was coming out the week that we were there. Basically came out the day that we landed. And the day we left. It came out the minute we left.
Something,
like,
yeah.
Like, we left at 7 a.m. exactly, which was midnight in Japan. Anyway.
And we watched it in the Canadian airport.
Right, because we had a connecting flight.
Yeah.
So we left San Francisco at 7 a.m. Anyway, and then this time I also didn't plan this because of the Digimon movie, but just happened, this developer conference happened to be right around that time. So... I'm going to be talking about a bunch of different places and things, and Ashley's looking up because we forgot to take down the clock, so hopefully you don't hear an annoying ticking noise in the background. Anyway, we have a bunch of images. If you're listening to this in the podcast feed, these images will be in the show notes. If you're listening to this live, you can follow along by going to bit.ly.com/podigist-tokyo, and that'll bring you to an imager album where you can look at all the different pictures of things that we are talking about.
Imager.
So the main thing that we're talking about is people might not be aware of, they're not following all of the, you know, like the hype around Chai and stuff, but their Chai is basically like a big marketing machine, really. And so like with each chapter, there's like a wave of promotional things, and, you know, that's stuff like merch, but also these, pop-up event thingies. So, the first thing talking about is this, what's it called? Like the pop-up music cafe. I think the cafe that it, the way most of these cafes, these anime pop-up themed cafes work is that they're like a dedicated space for anime cafes, and they rotate, you know, like it only has that one theme for like a month or so and then goes to the next anime. And, yeah, this one was in Shinjuku. We went to one during the chapter one marketing period. And that was in Ikebukuro, and that was an anime cafe. That one, yeah, that one was actually much better. And this one was like,
did you, wait, where are these pictures? Oh, are these so, drink pictures from the music cafe?
No, you're spoiling things. You're not supposed to spoil it all the way.
Spoilers!
Yeah, so this first picture is just like what the cafe looks like. It was pretty small. I mean, all these like themed cafes are actually pretty small, but this one was supposed to be like themed around music, and you might have seen the promotional images that included, they like had some character designer redesign all the kids in like idol outfits, which, you know, like didn't actually play into the cafe at all, except they showed them on screens occasionally. And one of the big things listed in the promotion for this cafe was that like the cafe is connected to Kushiro's office, and you could see the Digimon in their like little digital space saying hi to you through the office. And it, and what that turned out to be was just they had this big screen and they would show the like, you know, 3-second GIF. It wasn't actually a GIF, but essentially could have been a GIF of the Digimon waving from the digital space. And it was pretty sad. And they also showed they showed like the opening and ending songs. And they showed the like recaps of the movies that I don't know if people have seen, like they've made like 3-minute recaps before of the previous movie before each movie has come out in Japanese. And they showed those. The only thing interesting about those is that when I was watching, there's an interesting bit that who knows if it's actually like part of the authorial intent of the first movie, but in the recap of the first movie, discussion, I told you about this before, right, Ashley? You're forgetting? Like, so in the recap of the first movie, the bit, like it shows the bit with, Yamato and Taichi's fight under the bridge when they're arguing, and Taichi's hesitating, and Yamato is like, don't you remember what we fought for or whatever? And the imagery they show while Yamato's saying that is the imagery of the 02 kids getting beaten down.
All right.
And so it's like, is there supposed to be a link there? Is there supposed, like, is that, like, cause remember when Tri Chapter 1 came out, people were like, oh, maybe that's what they were referring to. And like some event happened and all the kids just don't want to talk about it. And that's why they don't mention the 02 kids. Cause like they all remember that they got lost in some tragic event. And that kind of, who knows if like the recap has any kind of bearing on author intent. Anyway, the music cafe had some interesting key artwork and stuff, but the thing I thought was the coolest was a bunch of, like each table had a little book, a little guest booklet, and there were like some cool drawings of people.
You didn't draw anything, Jeffrey?
I know. I was like, oh god, I can't do this. There's a cute, we'll have these pictures you can look at online, but there's like a cute Takaru. There's like a Kushiro Mimi. It's pretty cute. Oh my god. Imager just messes up the ordering of these things. Oh my god. There was a proper order to these at one point. But there's one person looks like they translated Great Butterfly into German. Do you see that one?
Oh, the Leib Deinem Traum.
Yeah. I don't really understand why they wrote that in German.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, but that page also has someone saying, can't draw sad face, still can't draw. I guess there are other people who spoke English there. We'll have pictures of the menu and stuff there. The way these themed cafes work is they have menu items that are supposed to be like related to the characters and stuff, and they're usually pretty bogus and don't taste very good, and you're really not supposed to go for the food itself. But, and then you get things along with the items. So like, what did I get? I got the storage. No. The other annoying thing is they only had like half the menu available each week. So like I didn't even get much of a choice.
Looks like you got the Hikari thing.
What was it?
Looks like you got the
Yeah. So I also have a picture of what I got. I got the Hikari drink, which was like a strawberry milk thingy thing. And that was loud.
What was that?
I'll turn off the sound effects. I got a Pyoman, like, parfait or something, because I didn't actually want a meal, because I already
had
lunch.
Two straws in it, that's just sad. Oh, are they Pocky?
It was Pocky, yeah.
Okay.
It was an absurd thing. It had, like, Jello at the bottom. It was bizarre. It was, like, a weird, and there was, like, one of the layers is just, like, cornflakes, and I was like, what? Am I supposed to be mixing this? The thing is, I didn't want to go there for actual lunch, because, like, we tried that at the chapter one, the cafe that was open during chapter one.
Oh, God, the food is awful.
Yeah, the food is not good. The food is not, you're not meant to actually have a full meal there.
We felt bad, because we made our friend, like, order something, and he was just like, this is atrocious.
I missed that, because we had three of us there, and we were able to get, like, meals and drinks. And so, like, the main thing that's, like, exclusive to these shops, to these cafes, is the items that come along with the food and drinks.
It's true. And I think we got like almost every drink last time, because even if just all of us ordered one, it was like I think we each got two eventually.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
I guess so. I don't remember. I remember like I didn't like any of the drinks. I kept trying them. I was like, this one is like blue. I like blue. And then blue was gross. And then green one gross.
I thought that was good.
Oh, anyway. So some of them were gross. And no, you got one that was good. And I was like, oh, I wish I gotten the good one.
Oh, well, I don't think it actually mattered which one you got. They were going to bring you a thing either way.
Oh, well, this cafe was definitely, like, you get the one connected to the character. Oh. And I had a bit of a, like, oh, God moment when they, the charms that come with the food items, they didn't have any, and they were like, oh, write down your address and we'll mail it to you. And I'm like, I'm in America.
You're like, I'm white!
But I have a Japanese forwarding address I used to buy merch in Japan, so I was able to write that, and I just got notified that they sent it, that it arrived there. I'm probably going to be like $10 to ship it here, though, for this little charm. But yeah, it's sad, like, being a single person there and, like, not wanting to get a bunch of stuff. So I was like, I got one charm for getting a food item and a coaster. And it's like, oh, I barely got any of these. And I had the cool, like, Digimon characters.
What did you get for going to Tokyo without me?
Basically, I could have just ordered everything on the menu.
That's such a waste of everything.
It was interesting looking at the demographics. I was almost going to say, I wish I got a picture of the people there, but that's kind of rude.
No, that's creepy.
But they're definitely, like, when I got there was, like, a guy who just seemed like an older businessman. Like,
just chilling.
Like, older than us, like, at least, like, probably, like, 30 or so. And I was like, oh, well, this is interesting. Like, I guess there are older Digimon fans in Japan that are... And, like, I felt like, oh, I'm going to be so sad being, like, a single person in this cafe that's clearly meant for people to go in groups, but there was that dude there. The next big thing was the Try pop-up shop, which this is the first time. There have been previous pop-up shops. There was one around Halloween when the third movie came out, I think, tied into that. I think there have been ones before that, too, but, like, there weren't any when we were in Japan the previous two times. But anyway, this was in Ikebukuro, which... People know wards of Tokyo and neighborhoods. Ikebukuro is kind of like, Akihabara is considered like the, you know, nerd weeaboo mecca or whatever. But Akihabara skews very male in terms of what kind of stuff they market there. It's like, you'll find lots of like, kind of gross figures of scantily clad women and stuff because it's more of the like, bro demographic. Whereas Ikebukuro is more of the female demographic. So it's more of like the, like boy idol stuff and Fujoshi demographic. So that's where they've done a lot of Try promotion because that's kind of where the demographic tries hitting nowadays. Anyway. And it was a kind of sad shop because it's you can see in this picture here it's like was not very big and there wasn't much stuff. And the stuff that I was most excited for was sold out by the time I got there. Cause I think it had been open for like a week before the movie started, and I was there like a week after the movie started. So like the most exciting stuff, like I was excited to get, there were mugs that would like change based on like putting hot water in them. Like two different ones, they were both seemed exciting that they didn't have any mugs. And especially rubber straps that I couldn't find anywhere. That like the rubber straps with the Dark Masters and stuff.
Yeah.
I couldn't find them. But we got a bunch of assorted things, and we don't have pictures of them, but we're going to be doing a Try giveaway soon. In the past, we've done them timed with Try episode or Try podcast episodes, but because I was going to Japan right after and stuff, we were not able to do that. So anyway, now that I'm back, we'll be able to do that sometime soon. Stay tuned for that. That's some exciting
news. Stay tuned. Jeff spent all his money on Try things.
It's kind of true. Not all my money, but like most of what I, like basically all I got. I think the only thing, other thing I got that wasn't Try stuff was that Cyber 009 book for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. And the last, wait, was there something else about the, no.
Oh, it's just Odaiba.
No, the actually seeing movie in theaters.
Oh.
So I saw it at the Wald 9 theater, which, Mark from With the Wheel has described that as like the Try's home base theater. Like whenever they do promotional events, like with the cast and stuff, they do it there. And they, whenever they have like elaborate displays, it's there and stuff. And I was kind of disappointed because we were there for the Try Chapter 1, like a couple days after that came out. And like, they had this area where they put a bunch of, like, life-size cardboard cutouts of characters and stuff. And it was like, oh, Digimon. Like, it was so much Digimon stuff.
Yeah.
You can probably find, maybe in the show notes I'll have pictures of that we took back in 2015. This time it was like, Digimon was off in the corner. And it was like a bunch of Sword Art Online and other...
Stupid Sword Art Online, always ruining
it. It wasn't all Sword Art Online. Like, I don't recognize a lot of these characters, so they're from other things too.
Uh-huh.
I say something at the bottom. I'm not able to read it right now. But, yeah, it was kind of like, it seems like just a weird assortment of various things. Like, when Chapter 1 came out, it was like, Digimon. Anyway. But they did have cool stuff. They had like, I think the only characters they actually had were Tai Chi, Sora, and Yamato. But then they had like the Greymon figure before the painted version was revealed. But anyway, they had cool stuff. And I got a tumbler of Sora.
Oh, yes.
The poster. Cause
he's such a weeb.
No, I'm just like susceptible. Like I was like ordering popcorn and then
so
they
susceptible.
I was ordering popcorn and they were like, for an extra $10 you can get this tumbler. I'm like, okay. Like,
oh,
I guess.
Oh my god, it cost you $10.
Well, it's the tumbler with the drink was 1300 yen. So yeah. But I mean, it's kind of crap. It's kind of a useful tumbler. It's also kind of just like, you know, like an insert where they just put a paper thing inside and anyway. Yeah, it was cool. Other things I did, Nakano Broadway. We have been there before. My goal was to just like, cause Nakano Broadway is like, it's basically, I mean, if you've played Cyber Sleuth, it's like that, except there's more. Cyber Sleuth, you don't really get a sense that like, it's a mall where there's tons of nerd stuff to look at in the mall. Cause it's really just like a place for.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember being, I thought we were there for a while last time, especially considering we went with Johnny G.
Yeah, my goal this time was to just, like, spend, like, an entire day, like, spend as much time, like, cause we were with, I wanted to spend more time to look at, cause they're, it's basically the home base of Mandarake, which is a chain of, like, they just sell everything, like, they have a manga specialty store, a video game specialty store, like, they have, I forget the number, but, like, at least 30 different locations in this one mall, and they just sell all sorts of different stuff, and most of it's really cool, and I feel like we got to explore like 3 of the different stores. I think there was so much more we could have explored, but it was like, yeah, we're with other people, we're with Johnny G at least. And we're like, okay, we're not gonna like, he seemed pretty bored of it, so we weren't gonna like spend it. So I was like, on my own, great, I'll spend some, but I was too busy. I ended up getting to spend like less than an hour in there. I was like, oh, this is like the opposite of what
I wanted. Than we did with Johnny G.
Yeah, exactly. I basically got to like quickly run through. I did find one store that was just like, here is a like display of like all recent Digimon charms and straps and stuff. I was like, oh, cool. Got a bunch, or a couple for the giveaway and stuff. It's fascinating just seeing the way they price these things, because it's like, I mean, you can see in this picture I have of, like, the different prices, but, like, they must have some complex model for, like, judging the supply and demand, because, like, the characters that were more popular were, you know, like, twice as expensive as the ones that were less popular, and it's like, how do the people who staff these stores like know the relative popularity of all these different shows and all these different characters, and that's a complicated machine. Anyway, also went to Odaiba, which people recognize from Adventure. Yeah. I was trying to think of it now, it's mostly just Adventure. And I mean, I didn't really do much of the like sighty-sight things of Odaiba, but I did take some pictures of like the Ferris wheel, the Statue of Liberty, which Statue of Liberty, I don't think was ever actually shown in Try, was it? Maybe it was in chapter one of Try.
I don't remember.
Chronologically, the Statue of Liberty might not have been up during Adventure in Try. So maybe it's not. I don't remember. Anyway, there's definitely like some of the things that are like landmarks of Odaiba now were in construction, or under construction during Adventure. So I remember being mind blown by this when we were covering Adventure, but like the like alleyways where like Matt is keeping Kari safe from the Myotismon and stuff, like that's like actually the construction site of Diver. No, there's Divers, not Diver City, the other one, Aqua City. That might not be the right name, but the other mall. Anyway, so it's like, it's cool that stuff was like under construction then is like totally a thing now. Anyway, I also saw the the life-size Gundam model, which apparently is going down. Maybe it's already gone down now. Or they're moving it, at least. But also took pictures of like the apartment buildings and the school that's there in Odaiba, which is probably what the school that they go to in Adventure in 02. 02 is the only one where they think they like show a school. It's like right across from the beach. Yes. Anyway, the highlight of my going to Odaiba this time was going to the onsen from Try Chapter 2, which was basically like just as described in the movie. Like that movie was basically just an ad for this.
It's just an ad for this onsen.
I mean, it was just the first part of the movie, but like it was
It's a whole episode.
after going to the onsen, it's like, yeah, that was like listing off the features of this onsen. Like,
oh my god.
Except you don't go with your teachers and you don't have like wacky shenanigans where girls come into the guys.
Well, you could have made that happen.
Yeah, I could have invited girls into the
guys. You could have gone into the girls.
No.
No.
Oh. but yeah, I mean, I have a couple pictures of the place, like the. It's like the weird thing about this onsen compared to most is that it has a whole thing where you have to dress up in yukata to enter the main area, and then it's like there's like a faux festival going on, which I guess if you're like, I'm surprised there weren't, you know, like it wasn't like mostly tourists. I mean, it wasn't mostly foreign tourists. It did seem to be mostly Japanese people there, but I'm like, if you're from Japan, this must not be that novel to you. Like you can experience any number of festivals during the year, but as a like, we've never been in Japan while there's been a festival in any of the places we've been visiting. So I was like, oh, this is the closest thing I've seen to a actual Japanese festival.
Yeah, I feel
festival.
Like we always actually miss any special festivals in Japan.
Yeah.
Like,
the two times that we...
Yeah, we're always like too early for the Christmas ones to start and stuff.
Christmas festivals?
There are like winter festivals that were supposed to be happening in
Sapporo. But not Christmas.
No, like I think they are Christmas themed.
Oh, maybe. I guess I don't know much about the winter stuff in Sapporo. But anyway, and I didn't realize this. I mean, I should have realized this, but the ending song for Try Chapter 2 that shows us, like, the boys chilling. Uh-huh. Do you remember? Like, and they're chilling in this footbath, which is a totally, like, it's a curvy little footbath thingy, and that's a real place. That,
cool.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this place, I recognize this from the... And it was the onsen itself. So, like, in addition, like, outside of the cool festival stuff, the onsen area itself, like the actual bathing, whatever, was a little disappointing. It's like, it feels smaller in real life than it does in the, what I remember of the movie. But it was also like, should we talk about the general like onsen experience in general? If people aren't aware or like are maybe considering visiting Japan and curious if they should do it.
We talked about this on a different episode?
We briefly talked about it. I don't know if we went in depth, but like, it's I don't know. You did not have a great experience because you went alone and didn't know what you were doing. And, I mean, I was with another guy and neither of us knew what we were doing, but at least we, like, didn't feel, like, as, embarrassed.
You were with Johnny G. Johnny G's always just so confident. He'd be like, whatever, I don't care.
Well, also, I mean, like, there are things you can read up. There are, like, certain etiquette things and, like, I mean, like, you're not supposed to, like, dip the towel that you have into the onsen water and stuff like that, but I feel like if you just like know some of those basics, then you have more confidence. Like, okay, I'm not doing anything that's like incredibly offensive or whatever. And like, And you do get to, I mean, I guess it's harder as a girl, but as a guy, like, you can just hold the towel over your stuff while you walk around. And, like,
once girls have two sets of stuff. It's
oh, wait, do you have, like, two sets? You only have one towel.
Yeah, you only have one towel.
Yeah, okay, that's harder, I guess. But,
like, you just give up.
I remember being like, oh, I don't, like, when I read that, like, okay, you get a towel, and what you're supposed to do is, like, put the towel on your head or somewhere else while you're in the water, and then when you get up, put the towel, like, over your stuff. And I was like, okay. I feel at least a little more safe in doing, like, at least there's something. This time I noticed, like, because I thought the last onsen we went to in Sapporo, that, like, yeah, most guys were walking around with it covering their stuff, but, like, this, no one, most people weren't doing that. I was like, bleh. Anyway. I'm glad we went to that one, that I wasn't, that the one in Sapporo we went to, not alone in this one, because this one, like, the water was, in Sapporo, the one we went to in Sapporo, the water was not clear.
Yeah.
The water was totally clear everywhere. And I was like, okay, this would be awkward with a friend. But I saw...
I assume you saw his stuff anyway.
No, I did not see anything. But the awkward thing at this way, there was like totally like I don't know how old they were, like maybe high school, maybe college age kid, like these two guys who were like, they were like sitting really close to each other. I was like, are they gay? Are they just like, is this just normal? It was like their arms were almost touching. I was like, well, this is a little bit intimate. I was like, this, and like being openly gay, I think, was like much, much more taboo in Japan. So anyway, I guess if you're like used to communal bathing all the time, you probably have less,
yeah, it's our American prudeness is showing.
But yeah, like, cause my sense, like, okay, like, you're like naked in water to like be as far away from someone else as possible. But maybe if you're used to that, then it's whatever. But yeah, I mean, the onsen, I purposely, cause like when we went to the onsen before, we had just finished hiking for a while. It wasn't really hiking, but it was like at least.
We walked around a lot.
Right. We had walked around a lot. We were kind of tired. And for this, I was like, well, I'm not going to be hiking or whatever. So I basically ran around Odaiba. Like I jogged for like 3 miles around Odaiba to make myself exhausted. And I didn't feel that exhausted, but like, it was nice to like get a view of lots of Odaiba that I didn't really get a view of before.
Cat stops licking his butt.
blocking the view of the cat licking his butt. Other sites. I mean, so I don't have a good picture of it though, but the Airbnb where I was staying was basically like a block away from the Tokyo Opera City Tower, which is the tower that they, when in Tamers, they, like the main Hypnos building gets de-reapered and they have to move to a different place. This is the place they move to. Which like, I was thinking of describing this building to other people. It's like, it is the most nondescript, like, nice looking high rise building. Like, it doesn't look that special, but I'm like, oh, this is in Tamers. And I don't know. It is really impressive. The just like area underneath it. I have pictures of that too. But anyway, the main landmarks around Shinjuku, cause I did a lot of walking around Shinjuku this time, are the like three towers from Lost in Translation. I still need to watch that movie.
Yeah, I haven't watched it.
And like, I'm just like, I know these, like, this hotel complex of these three buildings. It's like walking around Shinjuku, they're really iconic. They're really useful just to find my bearings of which way to go. And I'm like, oh yeah, those buildings are important. But I haven't seen the movie that like everyone's supposed to know them from. Also, to understand Lost in Translation Man's title. Cause you know. Anyway. Yeah, Tokyo Metropolitan Building is, the conference I was going to was actually right across the street from Shinjuku Central Park, which is also right across the street from Metropolitan Building, which is the Hypnos building. So they had like a nice view of that a lot of the time. And like, I ate lunch in the park one time. And the rest of the stuff I have pictures of are like assorted things that are not really Digimon related, but this first one is just, there were a lot of ads that had Bieber on them. There's a lot of Bieber. Justin Bieber.
Why?
I don't know.
Does he even have a thing out now?
There's a YouTube channel. I forget what it's called. That shows like the craziest Japanese commercials each week that have come out. And I haven't been keeping up with the YouTube channel, but I definitely a couple weeks ago saw one of the videos and they had like, there was an ad with Justin Bieber, like just like in a high school with girls, and they were like, oh my god, there's some beavers here. So I don't know, he's doing something with Japanese marketing or whatever. I took a picture from the subway and was like, no, can't escape. I also took a picture of Ichiran Ramen, which is my favorite ramen place, because you can specify, it's like an order system where you get a slip and then fill out exactly the specification, what you want, like how spicy, with and without certain things, how like the firmness of the noodles. Although I messed up.
You messed it up, though.
Yeah. So like the men in ramen come like, is the word for noodle? Like, there are lots of other things that have men in them, but I got it confused. So like the thing was asking for the hardness of the noodles, but I got it confused because I was stupid looking up things in my dictionary. I got confused with the menma, which is the bamboo shoots, which I really, really hate in ramen.
Menma!
It's not an Anohana character.
It is an Anohana character. Don't lie to me.
But yeah, menma, like bamboo shoots, I frequently try them just to be like, maybe I don't hate them so much. And then I'm like, they don't taste so bad in the aftertaste. Oh my god, I hate bamboo shoots in ramen. And so I was like, so this item was like hardness of men. And I was like, well, that just sounds weird. Hardness of men. But I just assumed it was talking about menma. I was like, I don't want that. So then I tried to like say like, I don't want that. And they were like, you don't want noodles? And I was like, yeah, I don't want men. Anyway. He was, and then this person next to me, like, spoke English and was like, explained it to me. And then I felt like, cause they have an English menu, like, you can order with an English menu. But I thought I was being so confident, like, no, Japanese is fine. I'm cool with Japanese. And they had to show me the English menu to confirm it. I also went to Lotteria, the fast food McDonald's-esque chain that Digimon had a promotion with in Frontier days. Stop staring at the cat.
Licking his whole body.
Anyway. They did not have that one menu item that Digimon are based on, the, what was it called? Karaage? No, Karaage is the name of the fried chicken general, but it was the...
I don't remember.
Karaage Balmon or something. but yeah, they didn't have those. I got the closest thing, which was like chicken nugget fry thingies. It was really, really nice. Like, one of the nice things about like fast food in Japan is that like the serving sizes are so much more reasonable. Like, I can't talk to you, Ashley, while you're just staring at the cat.
You're talking to people.
Yeah, we're talking to everyone. Everyone's.
No!
What? Oh, you need to explain why you're saying no, Ashley.
No, I don't.
That cat is licking his butt. Anyway. No, but like, it's, I mean, I didn't do any of the fast food aside from the Slatteria meal, but like, it was like a meal set, and it was like a small bag of fries and a small little burger and like a little tiny milkshake. And it's like, everything feels much more like sane instead of just being like, oh, everything's huge. Get huge meals. Yeah.
Why did we go to Burger King last night?
Cause I was curious how Burger King would differ. And also they had that like hash brown burger. And I was like, hash browns on a burger?
Yeah.
And it wasn't. It's not that it wasn't.
Me very hungry. Can we move on now?
I think I noticed this time too, like the burger at Lotteria was like, it tasted totally different. I think what they like consider a burger.
I'm gonna eat this microphone.
This doesn't mean anything except for people who've seen Your Name / Kimi no Na wa, but I went to an event for the conference that was at Roppongi Hills. It's a really nice building and with a really nice observation deck and stuff. And apparently that was in Your Name because they had like a thing set up that was showing how the place where you were standing was in this movie. And then the movie, they go to an art museum, and I went to the art museum. Yeah, that's the thing. I also saw Sword Art Online movie, Ashley loves that franchise.
I hate that franchise.
Sword Art Online started off.
I hate it with a passion.
Sword Art Online started off, the TV series started off great. Quickly plummeted. To like really bad, but I was still just like, maybe we'll get back to that potential. Like it had so much potential in the beginning. Like I don't think
I gave it a chance. I gave it 2 second chances and it squandered them both.
Like nothing that it's done has ever really lived up to how much potential I thought it had in the beginning. And part of that may just be like, we never really saw the things that is very hearkening back to like .hack one of the other.
I want to watch that. I have not actually seen it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I haven't really seen those other. So
like, I hope it's not like, I hope Dot Hack is better than Sword Art Online.
Well, I just like the first arc, I don't know, like, it's like, okay, they're trapped in a video game. Like, just written on paper, it's like there's so many things that have been trapped in the video game stories, but I remember it being so compelling. And I'm really wondering, looking back on it now, if I were to watch that first arc, I'd be like, this is not that compelling. I don't know why I was so hooked by this. And yeah, people in the chat, Arcadia, Stevens in the chat is mentioning that the last arc is really great, Mother Rosario. And it's, I really like that arc, but I still feel like it didn't live up to what I hoped the first arc would be. Like, the last arc, Mother Rosario, is really good, but it's like, the height of Sword Art Online is still what I imagined the first arc was going to be, which it didn't end up being. But, this movie.
The height of Sword Art Online is in everybody's imagination.
Anyway, this movie, I went to see it, even though I'm not a huge fan of Sword Art Online, because I heard it got, like, people, the reception was pretty positive. I also was interested in trying to test my Japanese by being exposed to things like this. And, it was actually pretty good. I mean, it was like harkening back to the things that I liked about
the
original Sword Art Online. And I mean, just like comparing it to watching Try Chapter 4 again. It's like, this is a real movie with a real, you know, like start and end plot. Like, there's not just like, I mean, Try Chapter movies are basically just like a long episode of a series. Whereas like, it was refreshing to watch this and had like, really nice animation. I mean, the music wasn't as... One of the things I really loved about the beginning of Sword Art Online was I thought the music worked really well in that series. And the movie was, like, it was pretty good. I don't remember... It didn't feel as good as what I remembered of the beginning of Sword Art Online. But anyway, it was kind of depressing comparing it to Try and then be like, oh, if only Try could be this well-made.
Don't ever say that again.
Ashley, this is going to be in U.S. theaters next month. This month? Will you see it with me?
No, absolutely not. Sword Art Online. If I could take money away from Sword Art Online, I would do it.
And I took a picture of the theater where I saw it, because if people aren't aware, there's this theater, the Toho Theater in Shinjuku, that has a like giant Godzilla like looming over the building, because it's Toho's the company that, you know, like owns or distributes, whatever, is connected to Godzilla. Anyway, and it was neat because in the Sword Art Online movie, they go to that theater. Yeah. Coconut Buyer in the chat says, more like Sword Fart Online, which is true. So moving on. Enough of the talk about Tokyo stuff. As I look for the transition music.
The wrong transition music.
Try Chapter 4. Those are the original lyrics with Will, actually. It's just Try Chapter 4. Okay. So this is, so now we're talking about feedback about Try Chapter 4, Loss. The first thing we have a couple things that Ashley and I have comments that thoughts that came up since our Try Chapter 4 episode. My first thought was seeing Try in theaters, I noticed something I didn't catch while watching it subbed. And, you know, obviously in Japan, there are no subtitles. It was just struggling to understand with my limited knowledge of Japanese, which has gotten better, but it's still pretty low. This movie was pretty easy to comprehend because I can remember the lines really well. Anyway, but in the episode, I talked about how, like, Yamato saying, Mendokusai saying, like, this is a pain in response to Sora's talking about how, she isn't actually opening up about what's wrong. She's just like, because I remember being frustrated, like, Sora, just explain that Bioman's the only one who has rejected you, and she doesn't. But then, like, just talking, Yamato is like, ugh, what a pain. But, like, what I noticed watching without subtitles, Yamato and Taichi say it, like, in sync, at the same time. I'm like, oh, wait, this sinks both ships. Both of them are terrible people.
I mean, I thought we already agreed it sank both ships, that Yamato and Taichi should just be a thing together.
It's just...
They're so much better that way.
I guess so. It's such a shame because, like, it just, that almost seems like character assassination to me. Like, I don't think either of them would be that. I mean, what do I expect? I still kind of think that, like, there is maybe some cultural context we're missing, that, like, in that context, them saying Mendokusai is I'm guessing it has to be more of a, like, a general shared, like, this situation which we're all experiencing is a pain, and not a, like, ugh, Sora, you're such a pain.
I really don't know why you think that.
Because if they're actually saying Sora being such a pain, that's like, oh my, that's so rude. Not rude, but just, like, so...
I feel like that's how humans who are angry and full of emotions just are.
I don't know if they were like, they're supposed to be comforting her, and then just be like, go from comforting her to be like, oh my god,
now you've actually opened up. Because they suck at comforting people.
This isn't like, oh my god, they're just not in touch with their sensitive side. This is like, do not like go near these boys. These are terrible boys. Bad boys. Anyway. I forget what it was made me think about this, but just like, something reminded me of how, like, we don't know what's up with the 0-2 kids. They're somewhere. Maybe. Who knows? It's frustrating they don't mention, like, whatever. We talk about it enough. But, like, the reboot happening... Because we talked about how the reboot, if we saw it affecting Tapirmon / Bakumon? Bokumon. Bokumon is Frontier. Anyway, Tapirmon... And so then I was like, what happened to Daigo's Digimon, the other sovereigns? But also the 0-2 kids, like, just the idea that they would, like, go through with the reboot and then be like, oh yeah, these other kids who would also lose their partners. I'm kind of worried that, like, when we ever do get an explanation of what is going on with 0-2 kids, you know, like, some explanation for why the kids aren't worried about them or aren't talking about them or whatever.
They're not going to address that.
No, they are. I'm pretty confident at this point that, like, they will make a cameo appearance in some form in the last movie in a way that's, like, helps, like, they're part of saving the day in, like, in some final wave of attack or whatever. They appear like, oh, we're helping you out now, whatever, something like that, at least, at the very least. And that, like, there will be some explanation of, like, where they have been that will, like, satisfy some of the inconsistencies of why they have not been mentioned so far. That there will be something... But I'm pretty sure it's not going to actually explain, like, if you go back, it'll be like, okay, this didn't actually explain why they weren't mentioning them at all. And it probably won't explain why they were able to, why the kids were okay with rebooting their Digimon without consulting them, or without, like, worrying about them losing their memories and everything. What are you disappointed about, Ashley?
I'm so disappointed at the responses to Jeff's silly tweet that was, what was it? Retweet if you hope they're Maki's goggles. Like if you hope they're Daigo's goggles in the screenshot.
The way this is supposed to work, like the way I understand, I just assume this is how this, like, I don't know if you call it a meme, it's just like a structure of a tweet, is that, like, the thing that is saying RT for this is always going to be the more popular item, because, like, not item, the more popular choice, because, like, if you're retweeting it, then you're one of those acts, one of the ways that you vote is actually sharing it to more people.
Yes.
And, like, the people who are RT it, the people who retweet it, are going to retweet it to more people who are more likely to retweet it. And, like, the people who silently like it, it's not good. So, like, the way I understand, like, I chose RT, if you hope the Maki's goggles, because I was like, that's the one I want to win. And it has not done that at all.
Why? No. Okay. I understand why. Like, I'm not surprised that Daigo... Okay,
so the current outcome is 7 retweets for Maki's goggles and 30 likes for Daigo's goggles.
I think some people, you know, misinterpreted it as, like, who's are they actually versus who's do you want them to be imagination.
Yeah. And I think there's a sense that people, like, want to be right about that. Like, if they're stating one or the other, they want it to be the one that they're proven to be right about later.
Right. I'm mostly frustrated, like, fine, you can like Daigo. Daigo's fun, but I think it's a lot of people replied to the tweet with things like, I'm all for female leaders, but not Maki, and, like, just stuff that's, like, hating on Maki because she is currently portrayed as, if not evil, then, like, not exactly the good person. And I just think that's garbage to project current Maki's motivations and personality onto past Maki.
Like, how she would have been as a leader back then.
Yeah.
If she were a leader.
Because, like, clearly the events that have messed her up happen after the screenshot, like immediately after. And you don't know, like, Maki had so many potentials. She was probably a very nice girl, is how I imagine this. So, like, why not Maki? Why not Maki?
Yeah, I mean, I guess people, like, people don't like her because they're like, the way that she responded to this loss was to go all evil and manipulative and, like, willing to sacrifice the kids' memories and stuff. Whereas Daigo, you know, kept his cool and became a cool calligraphy teacher and whatever. But, yeah.
Daigo is not completely innocent in this.
My sense is he, like, wasn't aware of that he was, like, part of the organization, but, like, Maki's working with Genai and stuff was not known to him.
I guess. I still just feel that there is some failing of Daigo that people...
I don't know, there's totally, like, thinking that she's okay and not, like, I mean, I guess maybe she was just really good at concealing it for a while, but, like, it seems like maybe he was not the best at, like, understanding where she was at and that it was still on her mind and stuff like that. I think is, you know, partially on him. But, yeah, you were saying that there's, like, a double standard in how, like, that we... Like, oh, I'm all for a female Gagohead, but, like, not this one. And it's, like, I feel like if, I don't know, I feel like if we're, like, a guy leader going through the same stuff, like, oh, that's so cool that they're getting this arc of
showing how evil they are. Yeah, you all like Ken. Ken's a jerk. He literally enslaves Digimon and then whips them.
We only have 13 minutes left, so we need to rush through some of the feedback.
Katie Stevens in the chat says, could they be planning a movie series just for the 02 kids, and that's why they're not mentioning them much now? I hope not. Jesus.
Okay, so there are two things to address about that. That there's a difference between not focusing on the 02, and I see a lot of people who are like, no, but the reason they're not focusing on the 02 kids is because they, like Adventure are the one, like, that's totally, like, Adventure are the ones they want to promote and stuff. That I think that's a totally reasonable defense. Or a totally reasonable decision for them to be making when constructing the series and everything. The thing that is so frustrating to us and to everyone who complains about the 02 kids, I think, is just there's no plausible reason for, like, they're just not mentioned at all. And it just seems like sloppy story construction. It seems like they don't actually, like, most pessimistically, it seems like they don't have an answer for what the 02 kids are, so they just don't mention them. Like, just don't go near the topic because we haven't actually, like, answered that. Like, just
yeah. Be our way for and it. Any nods that they've made to it have just been like, they exist, like.
Yeah, and it's just like.
We showed them dead in the beginning. Hikari and Takaru have their one moment where they try to reach out to Ken.
Honestly, looking back now, like, if they, I feel like what we have, given what we have so far, it would be more logically coherent if there weren't any of the Ken stuff. Like, if they just like.
Right, if it's just right. Like. Just leave that guy out.
or just, like, something, like, what the evidence at that point, what we would have had is, like, something happened to the kids, no one's mentioned them. Like, then I could be like, okay, they've been, like, wiped from their memory or something. Something has happened. Maybe there was a traumatic event, but, like, given how they were like, oh, let's go visit Ken's house, and, like, we happen to choose a time when his parents aren't around, where he's not around, and, like, well, that's the only time, like, did they keep going back to Ken so that they... Are his parents not there? Like, is no one living there? Like, they check only one time and they happen to pick a time when his parents weren't around. Like, there are so many questions that are just like, yeah. Our cat is stealing napkins. Anyway, silly kitty.
Amazing.
Yeah, one thing about the Try marketing machine and 02, which I thought was worth mentioning. Sorry, I was getting a call. Is that, like, something people might not be aware of, they're not, like, following all the different merch and stuff, is that, like, at a bunch of the stuff at the shops where they've sold, so, like, in addition to the Try pop-up shop that I went to, they also have, like, merchandise for sale at, like, the movie theaters and stuff like that, and in all these things, there's always some 02 merch. I actually don't remember seeing any. Like, I mean, there's always assorted, like, random things from other seasons. But I assume they use that as a kind of metric to determine demand for their series. And it just seems like there was more 02 stuff during chapter one, and then, like, it's been less and less. because I think they're like, these clearly aren't the characters people are like clamoring for. And anyway, it makes sense not focus on them because they're not the like the thing that will drive all the sales. I was really hoping that like halfway through, like in around chapter 4, chapter 5, they would be like, and here's a renewed marketing push. We've like, you know, exhausted the marketing we can do for the zero, for the adventure kids. The people are kind of sick of them now. Like it's, we've been doing it for a year and a half. Now it's like, do a whole new wave of zero.
No, you just put Joe and Yuri and Ice and it's fine.
Right. I mean, what we've seen, like I thought they would need a second wave of like, now we're going to promote the zero two kids. And now it's been, you know, 15 years since zero two, but like everything's past, like it seems like they can market the adventure kids for much longer than 1 year. And it seems to have been working for them really well. And it doesn't seem to be faltering. Like, I mean, even recently they've been like, they did the, you know, designs for the October Halloween event. They did the winter pop-up shop designs, the music cafe. Like, it seems like just putting the adventure kids in wacky outfits is doing enough for them anyway. So yeah, I'm not, like I said before, like my hope expectation for Azure Tickets now is that there'll be a cameo in like the final climactic thing, just to be like, and they were here, here they are, now you've like, you've crossed that checkbox off the list. Which I'm kind of in, kind of that process is inspired by. Sword Art Online did that. Like, cause they were kind of like, it's not spoiling too much to be like, oh, you haven't even seen the arc, so you don't even know what I'm talking about, but like, in that final fight, there's like, there are a bunch of characters that are pivotal, that are like important to the plot that have been from previous arcs that are in Sword Art Online movie. But there's also like in the final fight, just like, and blank is here just to like have an attack, just to like show they're around. And like, there's, do you know anything about the last, there's a character who like doesn't actually show up in the final arc, or sorry, who's in the final arc, doesn't actually show up in the fight, but is like there as like, it's their memory of them. And like, something like that, where it's just like a bunch of cameos like make you feel excited in the last final push, which is what I, yeah.
Okay, actually, the Zero Two Kids are all just the Dark Masters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see Daisuke as Paimon. Yeah, I can see it now, all
Ken
along.
Ken is Paimon.
No, Ken is Metal Steedramon.
No.
Wait, so there are four.
Yeah, there are four. I was joking about this.
Let's, people in the chat, let us know which
one. It's on the record.
People in chat.
I called it.
Think about who matches up with whom best while we go through the last couple bits of feedback in the like 7 minutes we have left.
Coconut buyer. What if we, the only Zero Two kid we get in part six is Willis? Lol.
And Willis is just like, oh, Strathimon, I saw you once.
Yeah. I would love it.
What, I'm wondering if there's other like things that just like upset people's knowledge of canon. Like what if the Zero Two kids like don't exist anymore, but like stuff from the second Zero Two movie? Like a lot of people speculate that Joe's girlfriend is the girl that he borrowed the bike from in the movie.
Oh my goodness.
So like, what if she does exist and is like, oh yeah, we did that thing together. And like, I'm like, oh yeah, we forgot about the Zero Two kids, but like, she's still canon. Like,
that's amazing.
Or what if like, cause, there's the, Imperial Jamon Paladin mode, right? What if like Omegamon has like, I was thinking we don't have
Imperial Jamon. I was like, what are you doing?
But like, what if, because Imperial Jamon and Paladin mode has like a sword, has the sword from Omegamon? Is that right?
I don't know.
Or something. Like, what if Omegamon just like got bits and pieces from Imperial Jamon Paladin mode, but like Imperial Jamon Paladin mode didn't exist at all?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I guess Imperial Jamon Dragon mode was a thing in these movies. So, anyway. Okay. Getting to some feedback. Non in our comments said a bunch of stuff, but we only have 6 minutes, so I'm gonna read this bit. I think it just wasn't long enough to let the writers do what they clearly wanted to do, and Biamon's attitude really made no sense. I get the dramatic irony thing, but I don't buy it. Which I really agree with. Like, I get what they're going for by mirroring the stuff from Adventure, but like, it really doesn't feel like Biamon, there's much of a reason in context for her to be so anti-Sora.
I mean, that's how I felt.
Yeah. Like, I just feel like it was stretched too far. I also said, Engenai, oh boy, I really don't need weird, sexual, non-consensual touching stuff into my Digimon, thanks. Also, would it have been too hard for anyone at any point to be like, oh, hey, that wasn't the real Ken. I wonder what happened to him and also everyone else. And I don't know how to interpret this face. Like moving your mouth to the side, kind of like, face. And yeah, that's totally like, the thing is like, the more I think about it, it's like, they want to it's the same thing with the shipping too. Like, they want to tease as much as possible without actually getting too close to confirm or deny things. So, like, questions like, just saying, I wonder what happened to Ken, I wonder what happened to the two kids, is, like, getting too close to, because that gives you some information about the fact that we do or do not know. And more comments from Nan. I think I was the only one surprised that they were addressed the original Digidestin thing for Adventure. I always thought it was some throwaway detail that would never be expanded upon, and the fact that they did it was probably fan service-y, but I'm not opposed to the writers using the time to expand on potential plot holes from the original series. Now if they can just explain WTF Piedmon put into Genai's back in that one episode. And I just wanted to talk about this, because, like, it seems more and more like when constructing the series, a team of writers watched, or whatever the series, that the title is called, but the person who
devises?
Is that a word?
It is a word.
Sounds like Davis. Anyway. But the scenario writer, like, it seems like they, like, watched Adventure and were like, okay, here are the big plot holes left here, not plot holes, but the big unanswered questions left open by the season. Let's address those. Like, it seems like almost too logical.
I just feel like that's inevitably going to leave more plot, like, unanswered questions.
Yeah, no, it's not like they can't tie up all the unanswered questions, right? But, like, I feel like it's logical to, like, let's tackle the biggest ones. You know, like, things like the prophecy about the firewall, that, like, and how, like, Apocalypse came from the firewall. Like, I feel like that's one of those things, like, that's too convoluted, that's too, like, complicated of a thing to, like, actually poke our hands. And, like, if you poke that, it could just set up other fires and stuff. But things like the big things that are... They probably wanted to go for the things that were the biggest questions and also had the most maneuverability. Like, who were the original Digidestin? Like, that's a huge question they could answer in all sorts of different ways. But I mean, I guess it's also tied in, because it wasn't just primarily Tri, since the novels tackled that a bit too, with the talking about how the holy beasts came from them. Anyway, Nan ranked the movies with 2, then 3, then 1, then 4. That's not mine. Almost mine. Mine was 3 first, otherwise.
I was very interested that Embermoto also put 2 first. Mm.
They put 1 below 4, but other than that, yeah, it was 2, 3, 4, 1. Yeah, I guess people really like 2. I kind of like...
They really like Joe.
I forgot how much I really liked that movie because 3 overshadowed it so much, I think. Like, 2 was like a much better version of what I kind of expected after seeing 1. And then 3 was like, I didn't expect Tri to ever be this good. Was my take on it.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, 2 was like, it kept the same pattern from 1, but did it better.
And then... Yeah.
3 was like, screw all your patterns. Also, this is better. In my opinion.
Yeah. And before we get cut off, Embermoto also commented about how, like, Tri's giving them lots of things they didn't... The things that they've been wanting for a while, like the original Digestion, Homeostasis, Yggdrasil, but that these elements were not introduced well, and yeah. And also, where's your 2 kids? And they also mentioned how, like, there are only 2 movies left, and they're worried that, like, they can't satisfactorily wrap everything up. Cause yeah, it really feels like they've been opening things and not really concluding.
No, yeah, it's like more and more things get opened, and I'm like, you have less and less time to close these.
But I also feel like there's some questions that we were asking around chapter 1 and chapter 2 times, that, like, things seem so much clearer now. And now I'm thinking about how,
like,
at the end of chapter 3, how I was like, it seems like things are heading towards a, like, not a good versus evil, but a, like, people have different interpretations of what is right and what is wrong. But no, it's all good versus evil now.
I guess.
Hmm. Oh, I forgot that we asked, we had questions. That was a whole...
Yeah.
I think maybe what we'll do is, since the live stream is going to cut out soon, we'll answer some of these questions off the live stream and include them in the episode.
Yeah. Because
unfortunately we can't broadcast live for more than 45 seconds after this. 45 seconds left. I wonder if I could, like, if I could pay in the next 30 seconds to do that, but that's too complicated. So, sorry everyone in the live stream, they're going to be cut off soon. But catch the main episode hopefully later tonight, and you can hear answers to these questions. Woo. So now let's...
You need some false transition.
It's alternative transitions, actually.
Yeah.
So Marcus asked, during your stay in Tokyo, was it heavy on Switch advertisement? I feel like I didn't look at much, I didn't see much advertisement, but like another thing about being in Tokyo is that like there's advertisements everywhere.
It's true. It's very overwhelmingly like, noise all the time everywhere. What's happening?
Like, if you have an impression of like, I mean, like, I think the closest example that people in America have is Times Square, where it's like, you imagine like banner ads on buildings everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what a lot of places in Tokyo are just like all the time. And also just like, people may be like, I had seen this in anime and didn't realize it was like real life, where like on the trains, they'll have, I mean, some like public transit in like San Francisco and other cities I've been to have, you know, like the signs on the, like above windows and stuff. Yeah. But in Tokyo subway and stuff, it's like they have those, plus they have like banners.
Like hanging.
Right. They hang and like they're, I remember a screenshot I saw, maybe I have it in show notes, where it was like, I think it was in the anime March Comes in Like a Lion, where like it was like a picture of him, but then like the ads were for their own series. It was like, it's like a weird
I think I was surprised going to Sapporo that like it still felt that way. Like there were still so many overwhelming things on buildings, and I was like, this is just a Japan city thing. Like,
yeah, I mean, Sapporo wasn't like as dense,
right?
Like, there are places in, like, especially the area around the Toho Theater, as I mentioned before, was like super dense. And like, oh my god, there was this one ad playing at the building. I think I took a picture of it because it was like so lewd. This ad on a building across the street from the theater that was just like, I guess it was like a hostess club, and it was just like, women like barely clothed, just like, I'm like, oh my god, this is ridiculous, this is absurd how like explicit it is trying to be without actually crossing any line. But yeah, so I guess this is all to say that, there was lots of advertisement, but like I wasn't watching TV. I don't recall seeing any Switch theme stuff. Switch was on my mind. It did launch while I was there. I think it launched on that Friday. I remember because, like, and I can't remember which day of the week it was, but maybe it was Saturday. Well, I don't remember. But it was definitely Friday in the US, I think.
Yeah.
Which I assume was also Japan's, like, they also launched on Japan's Friday. But, I definitely heard there were some people from the conference who went to pick it up that morning at, like, shops in Shinjuku. Like, there was, like, one shop that had three Switches, and, like, one person from the conference got one of them and stuff like that. But, yeah. I didn't really see any advertisement. And I guess I didn't really do much, like I remember we saw a bunch of ads for Final Fantasy 15 when we were there in November in like Akihabara and Shibuya, but I didn't go to those places this time. There's that one great billboard ad for Final Fantasy 15 that was just like, it just said like, comes out.
Yeah.
Or I think it's like 15 Dedu or something. And that's all it said.
Yeah.
Which is like a couple characters.
It was great.
Another question. This is either also from Marcus, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you were traveling around Tokyo, did you see people mostly playing mobile games on cell phones, or were they on PS Vita, 3DS, Switch, etc.? So yeah, I didn't see any Switch. I should have taken note if I saw any Switches. I didn't think about that. I forgot that it's a portable console.
God, you didn't see people showing off their Switches?
I forgot about how it's like the whole point of it, but I did totally see 3DSs. I saw like this one little kid with a 3DS on the train. I was like, oh my god, you're adorable. And then somebody put back his 3DS in his bag and like got out like his workbooks and like was doing his like studying. I was like, oh my god, this is adorable. It was like his like probably like 8 year old like riding the subway alone. I'm like, oh, Japan. And like I forget where it was. Like it was like in Tokyo, like in like downtown Tokyo. I mean,
your mommy wouldn't let you ride the subway.
Yeah.
When you were 16.
Anyway. And I don't recall many other like people playing game consoles, but I mean, definitely people playing mobile games. Like, there was this one older businessman that I saw, like, furiously a thought typing on his phone, and people aren't aware of, like, the way the Japanese keyboard works on iPhones, and I assume it's similar on Android. You can kind of, like, swipe instead of doing, like, multiple taps. It's kind of like a T9 keyboard, but you, like, swipe instead of tapping multiple times. And I think that's what he was doing, because, like, his hand was frantically swiping, and then he got off the train, I saw his phone, he was playing Tsum Tsum. And so that's, yeah. After four moves to try, how strongly do you guys believe they're going to retcon the end of season two?
I don't think that they can retcon it. I really don't think they're going to do that. I think they're just going to be really, really lazy about the explanation of what the 02 kids have been doing.
Yeah, I think so too. Because, I mean, there was a, I can't remember where it was, but there was some kind of comment from the staff that they were keeping the epilogue in mind. They said it kind of vaguely.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you could interpret it to mean, like, well, they're keeping the spirit of it alive, but...
Hey.
Our cat is eating stuff, eating the cables involved in the production of this podcast. So, yeah, I don't think they're going to completely retcon it, but I think they're just going to be lazy about connecting the dots. And I would hope they do something to actually, like, reanimate that epilogue to put it in better context or something, but I kind of doubt
that. I doubt that, too.
I really don't know how they're going to end the series. Like, I'm pretty excited to just see where that goes, because who knows? And I guess I'm worried that it's going to just fall on its face, but... Since the kids from 02 haven't been mentioned by the 01 cast, except a few times, do you believe everyone just grew apart and don't hang out anymore?
No, I just think that it's such lazy storytelling, and I think if that were
the explanation, it is possible that they, like, when they have their cameos later, whatever, that is the explanation given. They're like, oh, we just grew apart. Maybe they moved away to different, like, maybe they don't live in Tokyo anymore, except for Ken, or whatever. Like, they could, given our confidence in the series, we would not be completely surprised. But it would not be satisfying at all. It would be frustratingly disappointing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. For them to have just grown apart from the 02 kids, like, I'm not against them growing apart. Like, that could be totally a plausible thing.
And definitely, like, it seemed like, it never seemed like it was that much in the narrative itself. People commenting on Chai Chapter 1 were saying that, like, oh yeah, they've, like, grown apart and it's them getting back together and stuff. And, like, to some degree that was true. Like, they definitely didn't seem to, like, hang out as a group anymore. Mm-hmm. But they definitely seem to still have a bunch of interpersonal connections. Like, you know, like, Taichi was still talking to Kushiro and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, like, I guess them hanging as a group wasn't it. But, like, for them to just, like, grow apart from everyone is possible, is realistic. Especially if they moved. If moving, but, like, for all the Adventure Kids to stay in the same place and the 02 kids to move, it's like, really?
Yeah, like, it doesn't make sense that it's like, oh, and all the 01 kids came back together, but then totally just forgot about the 02 kids after they had grown apart, and it's like, no, that's not a good satisfying.
Yeah, and I've seen some people back up the, like, at least in the chapter 1 and chapter 2 days, that, like, their reason they maybe didn't think to get, you know, contact the Adventure 02 kids is they just, like, the Digimon appear and it's only the Adventure kids. And so they're like, we don't want to, like, bother the 02 kids by, like, we just assume that we were chosen again. They weren't, and we don't want to rub it in their faces. Like, I guess that's a possibility. I mean, it would be a disappointing possibility.
Yeah.
It's a possibility. It would be a disappointing reality.
Well, part of me wants to be like, yeah, I think part of it is just that they're so swept up in having their Digimon back that they're
But I forget the timing. I think there are, like, months between chapter 1, 2, and 3.
Oh.
No. Between 2 and 3,
It's right also they it. Introduce Mako, and then they don't question why, like, she...
The problem with introducing Mako is that, like, especially, like, Ty's speech about how, like, they need, like, she is one of us and whatever in chapter 4, and it's like, okay, this is a cool, like, friends are the most important thing speech. Sure. But it's just, like, completely contradictory if you have these other people that you've just forgotten about.
Yeah.
And, like, don't care about. So, I am pretty worried that, like, when they explain them, they will not, like, things like Taichi's speech there will not make sense. It will reveal them to be contradictory. So, also, Zoe's my favorite on Twitter asked, when they all got split up in chapter 4, which pairing/grouping would you most want to be canon? And I actually brought along the the theater pamphlet booklet that I got from Japan to help aid in answering this question, because...
At first I thought it was a shipping question. I was like, no, that doesn't make sense, because some of them only ended up with Digimon.
So you think it's like a... Which human would you want?
Right. It's who... What Digimon do you want paired with what human, right? I assume that's what this was.
I remember watching this... Like, I made a vague comment on the podcast, but, like, my point in watching this was that I was thinking that, like, it would become obscure trivia people debate about on podcasts. That we would be like, oh, Tai Chi was with Gabumon. Like, we would try to list it off.
Uh-huh.
And then it would just be an argument about, like, recalling who was paired with whom. And be like, oh, my God.
But yeah, I had written it all down.
That's important. Anyway, it was in this pamphlet somewhere, and I can't find it anymore.
Yeah, okay. Let me think here. Takaru with nobody. Takaru by himself. Takaru in the Elecmon.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I remember being that this page is absurd. They, like, had to list out where they all went. But it was, like, nicely drawn and stuff. And this pamphlet doesn't have that many pages is the other ridiculous thing.
Jeff's just really failing.
I am. Like, how...
Let's see. Who I can't else multitask. Was paired? Koshiro with Gomamon.
Is this possible? How am I... Did I, like... Did a page get torn out of this pamphlet?
Jeffrey, a page record, did not get torn out of the pamphlet.
There were, like, 10 pages. I found it!
Wow.
Okay. Sora Biyamon Mako. That's a... Meh. Taichi Hikari, Gabumon... Plotmon? Salamon? I forget which one is which.
Salamon?
I think it's both. And one's a dub name, one's a Japanese name. I mean, none of these are really... And then there's Mimi and Tendomon, Yamato Koshiro, Agumon and Gomon, Joe Patamon and Palmon, and Takaru on his own. I don't think I want any of these to be canon, because it seems like the ones that are... the ones that are contradictory, or whatever, like, that aren't the kid with their Digimon, are there to be shipping fodder. That, like, Taichi has Yamato.
Yeah.
Like, that's not explicit shipping fodder, but you know what I mean. Like, that's something going for the Taito. Yamato being with Agumon, Mimi being with Tentomon, Joe being with Palmon, which I don't think they really get much out of, aside from the fact that Palmon draws Mimi. And then Joe's like, oh yeah, Mimi. I like her. Yeah. Better than my girlfriend.
He doesn't have a girlfriend, it's a lie. Anyway.
Also, this theater pamphlet definitively confirms the argument that we had about what the place is that Mimi is sent to. That it is, I didn't know that Shogun Gekkomon in Japanese is Tono-sama Gekkomon? No Shiro? It's his palace? I should really check that episode again, like the original adventure episode, because I do not remember it looking so Japanese of a castle.
Yeah, I'm not in love with any of the Digimon pairings.
Sorry.
It's like, I don't want Gabumon to be stuck with Chai Chi, because that's not good. Similarly, Yamato would just get mad at Agumon. I don't want Tentomon with Mimi.
Yeah, I just don't think any of these, like, they didn't have, like, tons of, like, oh my god, with that pairing, there's so much chemistry unlocked that I didn't see before. The one exception, maybe Takaru and Elecmon.
Yeah, I'm down.
Apparently, also, primary village in Japanese is Hajimari no Machi. Like, beginning, town of beginnings, which I guess I knew.
How to beginning?
Anyway, Homer Neurotic asked, what do you hope slash think will happen with the lost memories? I gain them back versus not, how they might do so.
Man, I didn't even think to consider this, to be honest.
So, I mean, I definitely considered a lot between 3 and 4, but now that they got their power back without the memories, I think they need to keep not having the memories, or else, like I mentioned in the episode, like, it removed the dramatic weight by having the power available, but it kept the emotional weight. And if they also removed the emotional weight, like, I assume that the reason they had them able to get to the forms without, the really sloppy way they had them get back to the original forms without getting the memories back, meant that they were not going to get the memories back ever. And this will be, like, a permanent loss of the series.
I feel like people will be so mad if that's true, though.
Really? I mean, looking back at the way the series, like, all the movies have been charted, it's like, in retrospect, it seems like the first three movies, like, their goal was to get everyone on the same, like, Tai Chi's Joe weren't on the right page of it. Like, they weren't, it was like getting them on the same page so that they could all be affected by the loss, all be on board and then wiped clean.
And doesn't mean that people will like it.
I mean, hopefully the stuff that happens in the fifth and sixth movie by that point, people aren't annoyed by, are like, oh my God, it's one thing. But like, it would be a good way to end. Like, it would be like a nice, like, heartwarming way to end things to get it. Like, if they, the thing I didn't want was for the beginning of Trial Chapter 4, them meeting Bakuman and Bakuman and be like, here are your memories. You know, like, what yeah. they, like, I think it'd be less frustrating if they get their memories back at the end of the series.
Sure.
Yeah.
I still think it's going to be annoying either way.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely find it much less annoying if it's like at the very end. Sean asked, what Digimon stuff do you like? And we don't know how to answer that. we like the anime more than the games. We still need to play Next Order.
Yeah, we never play Next Order.
We need to do that for our stream.
I never play video games, though, so...
Yeah, I haven't had... Especially with our Accelerated Frontier schedule, I've had very little time for games in general.
Accelerated Frontier schedule...
I still need to finish... I'm still in the last chapter of Final Fantasy XV for 3 months now.
I've been playing Danganronpa for, like, 5 months, and that game is not that long.
Danganronpa. Danganronpa. We like figures.
I only like figures of things that I don't want to collect all of them. I just want the ones that I like.
even with that, there are too many. Like, it's frustrating. Like, when the Rika and Renamon one came out on the same time as the Beelzemon one, I'm like, both these are really expensive, and both... Did we get the Rika one?
We got the Rika one. I forgot about the Beelzemon one.
The Beelzemon one, I'm like, oh, this is also really expensive, but like... Anyway, CC Staccato also asked, this was a while ago, but I think it slipped through the cracks before. So if Hollywood made a live-action Digimon movie, yay or nay?
Nay. Always nay. Hell no.
Yeah, I think I just have to go with nay, because it's, like, nowhere near enough cachet to do it well.
Yeah. It would just be bad. It would disappoint you.
I mean, not like it needs cachet to be done well. You know, like
no, who... No, but it's just not going to be done well.
Yeah. I guess I'm just thinking, like, who had heard of All You Need Is Kill before Edge of Tomorrow came out in the U.S.? Like, no one... Like, it wasn't a, like, popular... Like, it doesn't need to have a huge fan base for something to be executed well. It's not like... Yeah. And there are things that have been done with huge fan bases that have been executed poorly. So that's also a possibility, but I just... No, I don't...
I don't think there's...
Especially the concept of, like, the monsters done in live action, like...
Like, the CGI is just gonna be bad.
I mean, I guess there's a possibility of it being more, like, I guess there have been those concept art things people have done of, like, you know, realistic looking Greymon and stuff. Like, if we're more like a Jurassic Park aesthetic with realistic dinosaur looking things, like.
I just don't think that there is any true adaptation that I'm like, yes, this.
A live action adaptation.
Just any adaptation.
Any adaptation of anything to any form. I disagree with that.
Aside from manga to anime.
Okay, that... I guess that is... Compared to most adaptations, is much, like, that whole, like, pipeline... The whole production pipeline of manga and anime is, like, a... They're made for each other, kind of. Right. So, like, yeah. That's more natural than, like, a book being adapted to a movie.
I also still think that, like... You know, of my favorite... anime, they are original anime, and I think that the manga is better of most things.
Yeah. I just don't think... I don't think there's a compelling reason for Digimon to be live action. I don't think... I guess there usually is never that much of a compelling reason anyway, it's just that live action is more accessible. Like, I mean...
Right.
Sometimes we think that, like, oh, in Japan, anime is super popular. It's like, it is a lot more popular in Japan than US. It's a lot more... general cultural, like, not niche, but it's still, like, if something gets a live-action adaptation, that reaches a much bigger audience. You know, like, the Death Note live-action movies in Japan, like, I'm pretty sure reach a much wider audience than the Death Note anime. and things like, oh, what was I thinking of recently? Oh, I can't remember what it was. Remember when we went to Japan the first time and like asked someone like which more popular, like, oh yeah, of course the live action stuff, like it airs on like, you know, primetime television and stuff. It's, well, for series. Oh yeah, cause it was the Death Note TV series. Maybe that's what I was thinking of at the time. Like the Death Note TV series is like a blip on the radar to anime fans, but like that reaches a much wider audience in Japan. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I don't think Digimon is something that, I mean, I guess Death Note did have CGI monsters, so that's also a weird thing, like a weird concept to be. And also it's being adapted to a Hollywood movie, so that's going to be interesting.
It's going to suck, so I don't
know. Hopefully it's good. I hope it's good. I mean, the casting is supposed to be good. People are excited about the casting. And...
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway. I think since we're running long, we're going to skip recommendation articulation for this episode.
Woo!
Woo! Let's go into the outro.
Into the outro with the will. We have the will.
You can find the full show notes and comment thread for this episode at podigist.com/T4.1. Jump in the comments to let us know what you thought about this episode. Like, which 02 kids match up with which Dark Masters?
Yeah, please, I need to know.
Who is Davis?
Davis, somebody in our, I forget who in our comments, I'm sorry, was like, yeah, Davis is Puppet Mon because he's the most childish.
Anyway, you can also let us know your thoughts via social media, email, or with the Will thread, or the Digimon subreddit thread. For, I think we're going to put this in the T4.0 Digimon subreddit thread so we don't spam the subreddit. And let's skip.
Podigis is made possible with your support on Patreon, including support from our champion Patreon. I don't know if I said that right anymore. Diab Jomon, who is at Tokujo on Twitter, Joe Kido, Kailunamon, Kaizawashi, Michael Penny, and Red from fellow Digimon podcast, Breakfast with Digimon. Our ultimate Patrimon, Alvaro Crimson Mode. I figure out the cadence of that. So David Graumon and Marcus. And our Mega Patrimon, Sam Kriwagamon, who is on the Moncast, which is a podcast about Pokemon and Digimon. And he would like you to check out his partner's Tumblr, which is purple-pixel.tumblr.com. There are Animal Crossing drawings there.
If you want to support the show, check out our Patreon, where for $1 a month you can join our private group chat on Slack, where lately we've been talking about...
I've been trying to convince you to buy Zelda for Wii U.
It's wrong!
Anyway, you're wrong!
I'm getting that tangent. I'm getting a Switch eventually. I already ordered the Zelda game.
You're dumb!
Anyway, you can also get cool stuff like commentary tracks and behind-the-scenes notes for $3 a month, a new sticker and button every month for $10 a month, ability to choose episode topics for $15 a month, and a monthly Skype hangout with Jeff and Ashley for $25 a month, although no amount of money will make me talk less fast and stumble on words.
Cool. You can find Podigis on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons, hear about upcoming episodes and recordings, and get funny Digimon images and GIFs. You can find me on Twitter at AshMcD00. You can find Jeff on Twitter at
Definitely Jeff.
But he's called the Jeffinition now. So it's very confusing.
I was like, I'm just gonna try this out as my display name.
The Jeffinition.
Share the podcast with your friends who
Share the podcast with your friends who remember you exist.
And don't share the podcast with your friends who just completely forgot that you were there and don't mention you. And then when they do, when you do kind of show up, then they're like, oh yeah, that person, let's go check out. Oh, he's not there this one moment. So I guess he's just not here anymore. We forgot about him completely. Oh, he's actually was revealed to be this other evil version of the other person we knew. Oh, but okay. But I guess we still don't care about this. I guess we still don't care about him. That don't share your podcast. Don't share our podcast. Don't share this podcast with those people.
Okay.
Join us in a... This is not the right script at all. Join us soon, in a couple days, for Is it?
Well,
actually
that
true?
Is right.
No, it is actually going to be true.
Yeah, I was like, what? That is the next schedule. One. Well,
join us in a couple days as we cover Duskmon's introduction and the Sakakamon arc with Frontier episodes 20 to 29 at the end of this.
No, part's not right.
Oh my god. Okay. And join us in a couple days as we cover the Duskmon introduction, Every Digimon Frontier, and the Sakakamon arc, and all those episodes, episodes 20 to 29. It'll be good. It's cool. Anyway.
Wow, that hasn't come out yet.
Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop digivolving. That was timed so poorly. The point is it has to time with the music, and then you were like, let me just talk about how it's time. Like, I'm Ashley. I'm talking about this.
Okay. It was so cute watching you try to play with the cat and also talking in the microphone.
Sorry for all the, this episode ran long. There's lots of noises in the background. Hopefully it's not too distracting. My sister is staying with us for a couple of days and she came in midway and is showering. So hopefully the shower noises aren't picked up too much. And anyway.
The refrigerator is making all the noise. Oh, forgot to take down the clock.
Yeah, the clock hopefully isn't too audible. Yeah, sorry for all the mess.
It's
almost
as
sloppy as Troy.
Yeah. Except our excuse is that we live in a one-bedroom apartment.
I mean, Troy is a one-bedroom apartment of anime.
in the most expensive city in the world? Is that a true fact?
I don't know. That's true. Alternative facts. This podcast is an alternative podcast.
That's true.